Kenneth Feinberg is a former chief of staff for Senator Edward M. Kennedy from 1987 to 1980. Good morning, Ken Feinberg.
Good morning.
You know, it was said earlier on the program by Kevin Cullen of the Boston Globe that the young people who went through Teddy Kennedy's office were the happiest on the Hill, the hardest working, and thought that it was the best staff in Washington, D.C. Now, was it as happy a shop as they report?
Oh, I think it was a very, very rewarding and happy opportunity because you were working with a man who was a whirling dervish that, wanted to take on and tackle as many issues as he could and get something done, have an impact, not simply be an elected official, sort of a sabbatical. He really worked at it.
And you were on his staff in the period of the 80s after his failed presidential run
I was on his staff during the 70s.
Oh, so 75 to 1980,
before, I see. Just before he decided to run for president.
Well, what was that like? So you had these competing tensions of the presidential run, his criticism of Jimmy Carter, and also his legislative work.
No, it was wonderful because if he was going to run for president, he was going to run on a legislative record. And that meant that during the 1970s, when I worked there, we were working on multiple issues, scores of issues, all at one time with a very, very able group working with him. And it was just a very exciting time.
And what did you make of this moment back in 1980 when he was asked famously by Roger Mudd his reasons for running for president?
I don't make much of it one way or the other. I think his overall legislative record towers above probably any other senator in American history.
Well, not to be critical, but let me play that moment. And, you know, because I imagine your context for it is very, very different than the rest of us. Here's Edward M. Kennedy answering a question from CBS reporter Roger Mudd about his reasons for running for president back in 1980.
Why do you want to be president?
Well, I'm were I to make the announcement and to run, the reasons that I would run is because I have a great belief in this country that it is, there's more natural resources than any nation of the world, there's the greatest educated population in the world, the greatest technology of any country in the world, the greatest capacity for innovation in the world, and the greatest political system in the world.
Ken Feinberg, that played as ambivalence in the public record, but you know, what was it like being on Kennedy's staff during that moment?
There was no ambivalence. Everybody moved on. You dust yourself off, and there were issues in Judiciary Committee and Labor and Human Resources Committee and Armed Services Committee. I mean, he just looked straight ahead and kept going with a determination to implement a public policy agenda.
Ken Feinberg, former chief of staff for Senator Kennedy. This is Femi Okeh just jumping into the conversation. When I look at Senator Edward Kennedy, I feel like I know him. I feel like he's like my big uncle. But in terms of you working with him very closely, was there a difference between the public persona and the private persona?
No, there wasn't. What you saw was the man, publicly and privately, determined to get something done, to use his fame and his bully pulpit to try and really have an impact on the laws of the country. And he could be a hard taskmaster. He could be very demanding and want results. But working for him, you went home at night knowing that you were really helping accomplish something that would have an impact all over the country.
Do you remember a time he called you on the carpet?
He called me on the carpet many times, but always with a good humor and with a desire, constructive desire to get things done. And clearly, everybody in Washington just loved the opportunity to receive an offer to work for Senator Kennedy, because you knew that working for him, you would have a chance to influence the public policy of the country.
Kenneth, there's lots of hand-wringing right now saying, I wish that Senator Kennedy was more involved in the health care debate. He had that ability to cross the aisle. When he was doing that, when you were his chief of staff, what was the magic that he actually managed to spin?
He realized, and he would realize it today if he were involved in the health care debate, that the perfect is the enemy of the good. He knew that if you could get half a loaf or three-quarters of a loaf this time around and get the foundation built, for example, with a health care proposal, that the other objectives, the other aspirational objectives you seek will be next year or the year after. He was in this for the long haul, and he knew that you secured success through increments. And that was his lasting legislative methodology, that stick around, do your homework, get as much as you can, be willing to compromise, and in the long run, you'll get what you want.
Lessons possibly lost on the newest breed of senator who used maybe the bully pulpit more than this incremental one-step-at-a-time approach that Kennedy is so famous for and really forms the mountain of his legislative legacy. Kenneth Feinberg, thanks so much for being with us. Former
Thank
chief
you.
Of staff for Senator Edward M. Kennedy during the 1970s, ending in 1980 during his failed run for the presidency, but really setting up the legacy of Edward M. Kennedy as a indefatigable compromiser and legislator. Joining us now is Sean Corcoran, reporter at WCAI Cape Cod, radio station where you can hear The Takeaway. He's right outside the Kennedy compound. Sean, good morning.
Good morning.
What is the scene like there this morning? Is the public gathering there, or are you expecting a statement from the family?
There's been very little public. A few folks have been coming out of their houses to check out the scene. Mostly it's been the media that's been assembling here since, well, about 2 o'clock this morning, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Last I saw, there were about 20, 25 cameras, television cameras alone. So this is where the media comes. We've certainly been here before, and often family members do come out and give statements.
And you're an old hand at all this. I mean, the Cape and the people of Hyannis and the Vineyard have been aware of these circumstances for some days now. It hasn't been a vigil, but I imagine the emotions are high.
Well, talking to here in Hyannis, we have a museum, the John F. Kennedy Museum, and talking to folks over there, they have seen a bit of an increase in the numbers of folks coming through, and there is an exhibit there now about Senator Kennedy and his relationship to Cape Cod, and that's been very popular.
All right. Do you expect anything to happen in the next hour, Sean?
It's really hard to know. It's
right.
Just been, we're waiting. We're hoping to hear about funeral arrangements, and we're hoping to talk to some local folks because, as you certainly know, the Kennedy family, they're pretty much neighbors here. The compound, during regular times, you can walk right down the street. It's
yep.
very accessible. You see Senator Kennedy. We often saw him on the beaches with his dogs and sailing in his boat and just very, very out and about and approachable.
All right, well, thank you, Sean Corcoran from WCII in Cape Cod outside the Kennedy compound. We leave you with the voice of Rose Kennedy, Teddy Kennedy's mom.
When Teddy was about to come, everyone said, you're crazy to have 9 children. You lose your figure, you lose your looks, it'll be disastrous. I said, God be praised, and Teddy came into the world, how fortunately.
God be praised. Indeed, Rhodes Kennedy. Teddy Kennedy, dead at age 77. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Femi OK. Good to end on a smile. You're listening to The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo. Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.